Hi everybody, and welcome to this day number two of Audio Mo. It's Kerry here, and thank you very much for clicking on and hopefully listening to this audio. So this very well might be the longest piece of audio that I put up during this whole challenge. And in order to explain what this piece of audio is about, it's going to be necessary to give you a bit of context. So I just ask that you stay with me, and I will try to kind of keep it as brief as I can, but while providing as much context as I can. So where to start? This piece of audio is going to be about how sometimes there comes a time, a lot of the time, after we haven't done something for a long, long time, that eventually there comes a time when we realise, yes, I have to do something. And it's okay to do something. It's quite normal, etc. So today's piece is about standing up to institutions and standing up to kind of people in power and how it's okay for us to do that, and how sometimes we have to. And as I say, there comes a time sometimes where we haven't done that for a long, long time, and then we realize we have to, and that's okay. So in order to explain this, a little bit of context. So in case you didn't hear my audio yesterday, and only because it's relevant, it's very important that I say that I'm disabled. My disability is that I am unable to see. And because of not being able to see, I went to a school for blind people from the time I was 4 to 14. And then I went to what's called mainstream school. So I went to the same school as some of my family members, but I was the only blind person in the school. And so that meant that something called orientation and mobility, which is learning how to navigate our way around places, usually with a cane, when in the school days you would do that with a white cane, or the white stick, or whatever you want to call that. We would do that. So I would have learned to use this when I was 4 and kind of kept using it. But then when I went to mainstream, of course, there was no timetabled. For the purposes of this audio from now on, when I say orientation and mobility, I'm just going to call it O&M because it's a bit of a mouthful to keep saying orientation and mobility all the time. So I'm going to call it O&M from here on in. So there would have been no O&M timetabled in when I went to mainstream school. There was absolutely O&M timetabled into my primary school classes and the first year of my secondary education. Yeah, I would have absolutely had O&M. And learned loads and loads of different things, loads of different cane techniques. One of my biggest stumbling blocks personally was how to walk past open spaces. And we spent a lot of time, you know, doing that. And so I would describe myself at this point as a pretty competent cane user and confident. I don't particularly kind of enjoy, or I didn't traditionally enjoy, walking with a cane. I've had a guide dog in the past. I don't have a guide dog right now, but I've used a cane for so much of my kind of time walking around the place that at this point, even if I was to have an O&M specialist come and help me with something, they're not actually going to teach me anything. It's not like I need cane training. I just need my roots, and that's all I need. So, and that will become important later on. So in 2015, because I couldn't find a job in this country, in Ireland where I am now, I left my family and my home and where I've been raised and all that kind of thing. And I went to the UK, where I was lucky enough to get a job. I got the job before I left. And I had a guide dog. I'd had a guide dog for 2 years at that point. So I went to the UK with him, and that was amazing. And he was fantastic. And he's since retired. And I don't think I would have been able to go to the UK without him. And we had, you know, kind of four great years over there. And we worked for 6 years in all as a partnership, which was great. And then in 2019, I came back home. And that happened for a number of reasons. And maybe that's a subject of another audio mode, but it's not important right now. So I came home in 2019. Unfortunately, because of me trying to be too independent, which is definitely a feature of mine, unfortunately, because of me trying to be too independent, when I was moving, I tried to move a suitcase from one place to another and ended up with a really, 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 really severe case of sciatica. And I think there was a slip disc. We never really found out what was going on because in the midst of all of this happening, then of course the pandemic hit, so all of the kind of hospital services and things were impacted. Anyway, I came back in December of 2019. The sciatica was kind of there when I came home and just kind of got progressively worse. I did go to hospital. I had really good care from the doctors I did see, don't get me wrong. You know, that's not what I'm saying at all. But the consequence of the sciatica coupled with the pandemic was that I didn't really go anywhere and didn't have cause to kind of engage with any services for O&M training, this kind of thing. And so, yeah, that was sort of, so I didn't know kind of what the lie of the land was in terms of engaging those services, in terms of getting those kinds of things. And I say that all because it's relevant. So I hadn't really, you know, haven't really gone out much at all in the past kind of year and a bit, as most of us haven't. And so, yes, now what's happening at this point now is that I'm on the verge of moving into a new house, and so as a result of that, then I need O&M. Absolutely, I do need O&M training. So I engaged with the organization that are set up as a charity but also a private company, but I engaged with the organization that principally provide these services here in the Republic. In the UK, it's done very differently. It's all done through your local council, and they have what's called sensory teams, and they have habilitation specialists, and those people do O&M, they do kitchen skills, so, you know, kind of they can do cooking, they can do all kinds of different things. And so in the UK, I think, I mean, everything has good and bad points, but in a way it's good in that because it's done through the councils, and so it's easier to get, and I think it's maybe slightly more organized. So I approached the organization last year when I knew that this house was a possibility. I was told that I was a priority for mobility. This is in September. Only very recently found out that no mobility had been happening because of COVID. I didn't know that until then, which to me, and I don't know what anybody else feels, but to me as a person who can't see, for the people that can help us, for the people that are supposed to help us, to say that they won't help us because of something, but they're the only people who can help us, makes no sense to me whatsoever. Social distancing is impossible when you can't see, you know, and just, you know, so for kind of our only sort of avenue of help to be cut off and be told it's because of a pandemic, okay, that to me just doesn't make very much sense. Anyway, last week I got told that I'd been assigned a habilitation specialist, and I thought, that's great. Talk to this person, and they were kind of chatting away and told me, first of all, that they only worked a certain number of days a week. Second of all, that they weren't going to get to see me next week, because it was, which it is, it's a bank holiday here in Ireland, and they'd taken the rest of the week off, so they weren't going to get to see me till the week after that, that they weren't going to get to look at my roots before then, which I didn't really understand, because as a sighted person, even if you don't actually physically go to a location, you have the luxury that we don't have, which is you can look at a Google map and kind of plot a route in that way. They're not going to get to look at the routes until the first time we see each other, so we're going to do sighted guide on a routes on the routes instead of like actually doing the orientation, and which is what we're there to do. And the kind of straw that broke the camel's back for me was them saying to me, okay, so I'll see you on this day at this time, and we'll meet at the place where we're going to do the mobility. And bear in mind that I don't have any vision. I haven't been independently mobile in Dublin for some years. Never mind actually whether I'd been independently mobile in Dublin for some years or not. It makes no sense to me to say to somebody who's never been to a place before, whether you're used to going around a particular city or not, it makes no sense to say to somebody who can't see, you know, meet me in a place where you've never been before and find a specific meeting point by yourself and see you then, and, you know, kind of good luck, see you, bye, and see you then, you know. So I didn't say anything to the person on the phone, because to be honest, I was just taken aback. Really, really, really taken aback. And I thought about it some more afterwards a lot, and I talked it over with some people that I trust. And finally today was the day when I kind of decided, you know what, I can be really level-headed about this and not be sort of in any way out of hand or out of order or whatever, but still kind of stand up for my needs and what I feel this organization should be providing to me as a service user and as somebody who can't see, and you know, and that's because that's their entire job. And I did. I said today was the first day I think I've ever done that for myself. So I did manage to actually say to somebody who has the authority to help me, that I don't think it's appropriate to ask somebody who can't see to find their way to a place that they've never been by themselves, still, you know, in the middle of a pandemic when public transport is at reduced capacity. I did mention that I haven't been mobile and independent in the capital for many, many years in Dublin city centre, and that I just kind of thought it was, you know, out of order. And so that was kind of the first time I've ever done that. And I think what I would like to say, and I feel better having done it, I really do. So we'll see what happens now from there. And I think that is a lesson to all people that are not only disabled, but anybody, any group of people that traditionally depend on, you know, a particular body or charity or, I don't know, a union or whatever, to kind of fight for your rights in some way, just because maybe there's only one, or they are the dominant group that represent you or whatever, does not mean that we should be nervous to say what we need and stand up for ourselves for fear that they won't then provide us any services or that we'll be blacklisted. And I think that's something that I would just like to say. If you're in a situation where you're kind of in an underrepresented group or a disabled group or like a marginalized group, and there's something that you're not getting, and traditionally you depend on this one body or one organization to represent your needs, to I don't know, to government, or you, if you work or whatever it is, and just don't be nervous to say something that you're not happy with for fear that you'll be blacklisted or won't receive appropriate services. And because that just should not be the way. And on that note, if you've made it to the end of this very rambly post that I really hope made sense, thank you so much for staying here and sticking with it and listening. And I will see you guys back here tomorrow. Pause button.